Hello, hello, and welcome to Surrender Soul Chats and Guided Meditations, Season 2, 1111, which is all about new beginnings. I am your host, Frandasia Williams. Those who know my soul call me Franny, and I'm the owner and founder of Guided Surrender, which is a lifestyle and wellness company that is based in releasing resistance, fear-based resistance that keeps us and blocks us from our manifestations, our spiritual, mental, and physical healing. So if you are on a healing journey, you're in the right place. This is a home for healing, and we are so happy to have you here. And this is my co-host, who I'll let introduce herself.
Hello, Queens. My name is Nicola Boothier. I am the founder of Female Makers. Please feel free to follow my journey for a collective of female entrepreneurs and micro female creators at femalemakers.org.
And enjoy this episode.
When you told me, oh, Granny told me this thing one time, you guys, and it literally triggered my soul the way I almost started crying, because she was so right. She was just like, you're having her. So Franny and I will say her when we're talking about like traumas or like things that, or and they're not even traumas. If it's just something that's attached to us, we'll like recognize that as her. So her was a trauma that I had that I was carrying around. And she goes, you have her sleeping on your couch, but you have that check that you want to deposit knocking at your door, but she's like, where am I going to go? I'm a check waiting to deposit into your bank account. But there's clearly you have guests that are, your house is full.
You ain't got no room.
I do have her on the couch. Why is she on the couch, Franny? I don't want her here.
And I say, and we talked about like, she needs to move out and she's ready, but no one moves when they're made to be like super comfortable. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna leave soon. No, you don't have to. We're having dinner at 6. Like, girl, if you don't want to go.
And a 40-year-old grown child that was just like, I do want my own apartment. I'm like, no, you know what? Save your rent. Stay here.
Yeah. You were like,
I won't tell anybody about it. It's fine.
Like, you like it here. And it was like,
you don't like it? You don't like it here? You don't like the coffee I bring you?
And she's like, no, but I just have a full service kitchen in my own home.
And I'm like, that's cute. Don't care. But then the checks are like,
ma'am.
The blessing, they're lined up outside the door. They're waiting. There's no spots for me though. You have to, you know, it's like the DMV. You got to check one off. They can go, you can service another one. And I've been sitting in the lobby like, my number has not been called. I have it right here. It has not been called. And I'm like, Franny, it hasn't been called.
Yep. So many of us are standing in our own way. And then that to me, it actually kind of pisses me off a little bit, because I'll be like, it's so much easier to assume that your healing or the thing that you desire isn't happening because of someone else. Like when we're dealing with past life or let me make it even closer. When we're dealing with like childhood trauma, it's so easy to just go straight to what has been done to you as a child or what you experienced to your parents or what happened in your life. And that gets you so far in the journey. And then there comes a point in your journey where you're like, okay, but I can choose to heal now. I couldn't then.
Right.
I wasn't empowered. I didn't have the tools. I couldn't fight back, but now I can. And now I can choose something different for myself. Now I can alleviate myself from toxic relationships and toxic situations, even if they're bloodlines, and I can remove generational curses. I can make that choice in my healing now. And I think it's been really eye-opening, this part of the journey, where it's like, it's an internal thing. It's you standing in your way. Every time I work with them, and people know this, I love working with other healers and intuitives and psychics and readers who basically just tell you what your soul is whispering that you can't hear. And we all kind of have this depth of perception that gets us so far. And then there's some holes in what we actually receive based on our own resistance, which is why the work that I do specializes in releasing that resistance so that you can hear those messages. And resistance is just fear that's tied to that past life trauma or that childhood trauma or even internalized trauma that is probably the seed of something that has happened in the past that you still circumstantially live by today, even though your circumstances are different. That's resistance. So the work that I do one-on-one and with those I love is to release that resistance. And I also need help with it because I have my own internalized base resistance. So when I'm working with other healers and other people and they say to me, it's up to you. It's up to you. It makes me want to throw something because I'm like, tell me it's going to be okay. Tell me the day, the time, the moment, the numbers. And they're like, it's up to you.
You know, it's like the same thing if you sign up for the gym, right? So you sign up for the gym. It's January 1. You're in there with everybody, the January 1ers, right? You guys
are. Yes.
There. Because this is going to be the year that you get it right, okay? Around March. Those Januaries, they are tired. They've fallen off. They may have even canceled their membership. Who knows? But the point is, it still requires work. You know, it doesn't matter if it's amazing when someone like Franny can pull stuff out of you and like help you see what's always been in there. Cause there's been times where maybe you've reacted to a situation and you're frustrated with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I react that way? But you're so fearful of taking accountability and telling your partner or your friend or whoever, like, I don't think I should have acted like that. Right.
Yeah.
So you become prideful. And I've dealt with that. I still work through that currently with so many people, even my partner. And it's just so difficult when your whole life, maybe you weren't good at accountability, right? So when you finally start being mindful of that, you can easily fall back into what you're used to, which is, I wasn't wrong. You were wrong. So let me know when you're done being wrong. And regardless of the person, whether they were wrong or not, you still play some part. There's still some part in there.
Yeah.
So when someone like Franny comes in and they open that mirror for you and you look at it, your first initial reaction is like, that's sad. Like, I'm sad for me that I've been carrying, like, how sad is that I've been carrying that around for so long and bearing that on me? Like, you feel bad for yourself. You know, you have like a moment where you're just like, I'm sorry that that's what I've made you carry. Then after that, you're kind of angry. You're like, girl, you've been carrying this for this long. You're pissed now. Now you're pissed. Now you're just like, okay, Franny, I'm ready. Like, I'm good.
Now it's personal.
Yeah. Now you're like, I've been sad. I'm mad. So what do I do? Right. You're like, okay, Franny, go ahead and do your little, and then make you go away.
Yep.
So doesn't work that way. It takes, Even when you release it, you still have to work on it.
Yes.
It does not go away. Just when you release it and you let go of it and you've decided, I've let them go, I don't want this anymore. You know, whatever that routine is for you, mine was like staging and letting go. And Franny and I had talked about it days before I finally did it. It still requires me to be mindful going forward of how I react to situations and not be so quick to things. So like, if it's a situation that's triggering me for that trauma, it's not going with my natural, like, I'm going to go after that. It's taking a moment and kind of like making it logical for me, like asking myself questions. Does this make sense? ?
Yeah.
And then if it goes, yes, it makes sense, then I proceed to another. Usually I never get past, doesn't make sense. When I ask myself, does it make sense? I go,
oh, I love that you said that.
Make any, like, in my mind I go, it doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
Oh, I love that you said that, because that alone is so freeing. It doesn't make sense. The way that I am processing this information doesn't add up. It is a lie. And a lot of what we're processing while we're healing and when we're faced with our triggers are lies. And it's about getting truthful with yourself enough to be able to notice that you have an internalized lie story. Absolutely. I mean, I also call it a story. It's an internalized story that you are telling yourself and that you are withholding yourself to, because it's the story you've been telling yourself. And we know that we are the creator of our own realities. And so if we're telling ourselves this story, we then create a reality that is a reflection of it. We create the imagery for it. So it's like when we check in and we're like, actually, that's not the story I'm writing. Actually, that's not true. And then it becomes what is the story that I'm telling? What right. is the story I'm writing? Where am I actually?
That's where you, that's, see, that's why you can't move past certain traumas, because you don't know what your story is.
Right.
You don't know, that comes with growth, that comes with maturity, that comes with, you know, being open to those things. Right. You don't know what those things are.
Yeah, it comes with time. It comes with time. And I think we and I say this often, we want to believe that time is really like, oh, it's been 5 minutes. Oh, it's been 5 years. But time is not that concrete. Time is beyond us, and spiritual time and physical time are not the same thing. I love it on TikTok. They're like, caught in 4D, caught in 3D, because it's like explaining the different times that we are right. all experiencing. And there's a past, the present, the future. There's all these things happening at the same time. And now we're aware of that. And we're so confused why something is taking so long. And it's
running. Oh, we get frustrated. We want everything instantaneously. We want to heal instantaneously. We want love. We want money. We want success. And we want
today. I want it to work today.
Yesterday. We want it yesterday so that we don't have to do anything today.
No. Yeah. 100%.
Nothing good ever works that way.
Yeah, no, it takes time. And you want it to take time, because in time you have time to learn. My dad said something to me when I was learning how to drive that's sticking out right now. And he always told me to watch my speed, because he said, when you go slower, you have more time to correct your mistakes. And when you're speeding, you don't have time to correct your mistake. And so slow and steady really does win the race, because you have time to be an observer and to really process what's happening and to redirect it. Versus if you're going fast, you don't have as much of an opportunity to redirect. So enjoying the journey, what I call it is embracing the unexpected. And the reason why I named my company Guided Surrender is because I needed that reminder. I'd love to say that it was about other people, but it wasn't. It was literally about me. If you have to look at a company name every day that reminds you to surrender, maybe one day you will actually be able to do it, because surrendering is the thing that for me is, I admit that's the part that I'm learning to love it, because we want to control the things that are the most precious to us.
Absolutely.
Universe, handle this and handle this, but ooh, my money. No. Like, don't mess with my money. Don't mess with my love life. I want to control that. I want to control. And the things that we want the most are connected to the things we most fear. That's the resistance. And surrendering to both ends of that and saying, I am okay facing my fears if it means that I get to have what I desire. And that.
And sometimes it gets to the point where people will just, they'll just settle.
Yeah.
Go after their desire because it's too much work.
Ooh, you just had a mouthful. It's
too much work to work through that. So they'll just adjust whatever that goal is or that desire and never truly reach that, because thinking, even fathoming working through those things is too much to
process.
Because they also may not have the tools in their life that feel like they could have somebody support them and work through those things. They could be in a situation where they don't have anybody around them that right. they feel could kind of elevate them. And that's where it gets hard. That's where accessibility is so important. Even if you personally are in a situation where there isn't not one person that you feel you can trust, that you can turn to, there are so many outlets and resources now that you can reach to online, that you can have like a virtual accessibility to people. And that's what makes it great. But you have to be willing to put yourself out there. And a lot of people have been taught to not. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay, just stay where you need to stay, do what you need to do, and just keep going down whatever path that is for you.
Yeah, and you are so right about that. Healing is a choice, and that's what I say. And it also, it's a solo journey in the sense that you have to choose it, but it's not a solo journey in sense of support. And I agree with you, and I remember when I first started my healing journey, I was silent about it too, and I was going through so much, experiencing so much so deeply. And I didn't feel like I had anybody who understood or I could talk to. And that was when I began writing about it. And when I wrote about it, I realized I was not alone. I just was in a situation where I also wasn't sharing it with others, just like other people weren't sharing it with me. And I decided to be the voice for what a lot of people may be feeling and experiencing, and yet don't have anyone to say it to. And as I started to voice it more, others started to flock and say, yes, I'm going through this too. And I realized that Soul Tribe, that healing journey, is about the connection that you have with others as you move through it. It's just about creating spaces where we can feel comfortable to do that. And so that was the creation of this version of Guided Surrender, which we all know, that's focused on the healing journey and providing tools and support and being a guide to you as you support yourself and move through your healing journey. Because as an intuitive healer, I can provide you with tools and guidance, advice. I can provide you with the ability to release resistance and hear those messages. However, I can't make them apply in your life. Like, you have to choose that path for yourself. But you're right. That's why we have the things that we have. That's why we have this podcast. That's why we have Soul Chat Sundays. That's why there's my writing on Yogi Approved and on GuidedSurrender.com, because it's all about creating a resource for others to be able to find guidance on their healing journey. And one of my favorite things to do is Soul Chat and guided healing sessions, because of that, where we can work one-on-one and have these conversations and really figure out where's the resistance in your life and release it. And I am grateful for the ability to be in this position where I can help guide others through it. And at the same time, I admit I too am going through it. And it's a journey for me too. And it, some days it's hard for me too. And some days it's painful for me too. And also it brings me a lot of joy and comfort and peace. And all of that is part of the journey. And that's why Nicole and I have these conversations privately so much. We find ourselves just getting lost in each other as we talk about our healing.
That's a good way to say it. We'll be like, oh, we're only going to get on a 20-minute call. 3 hours later, she's like, one eye open in the bed. She's like, I have to go.
And we're two different times.
I really have to go.
Yeah, we're two. Sorry for the shaking for the people in the back. We're two different time zones. I'm East Coast, and she's on the West Coast. Completely, and
literally polar opposite. Like, I think our state's probably like,
Literally.
Yeah,
lined up. Carolina. She's in Washington State. Oh, sorry, Oregon. I always want you
up
to
here. It's the same thing. Literally the same. They could be.
I want you to be lit. I don't know why, and I do it every time. Like, she's in Washington, and I know she's not. I know she's in Portland, and I know Portland is in Oregon. And yet, if you ask me where she is, I'm going to tell you Washington State, which is, I guess, I just really feel drawn to Washington State, and you're going to take me there, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That's that. What's happening. That's what she wants. That's what she's asking for me.
That's the message.
So listen, I'll fly into Oregon. However, we could do a brief cute thing. But then if you could take me up to Washington.
Yeah.
Washington, that would be great.
There's a lot of beautiful like forest and experiences in the Washington area that I think I need to have spiritually. Anyway, that's a conversation for another day. But that is the truth, is we're West Coast and East Coast, and it's so funny. I don't think that any of this is a coincidence. I don't think me and Nicole meeting is a coincidence. I don't think that any part of our journey is coincidental. And I have a friend, Fee's Focus. She's lovely. Follow her on Instagram. And you can follow her on Twitter at Fee's Focus. But she always says she doesn't believe in coincidences. She believes in coordinated experiences, or she says something like that. I think that's fun.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. So she basically reiterates how divine it is to connect with someone. And I love that. As I was prepping for our recording today, I was like, I'm going to sit on the couch where this is exactly where I was, maybe the other cushion, when Nicole and I first met and personally had a conversation. It started from a Clubhouse that I hosted, and it was my very first Clubhouse. And it was a little less.
Was it your first one?
It was my first.
I did not know that. I swear I did not know that.
It was my very first, because I remember I called Yumi, my Flex and Fly. Again, I'm doing all these shameless plugs because I have so many amazing people in my life who I think you all should also tune into.
Speaking of, because I didn't drop her, Jess Goldsmith, which I believe she changed her name now. I don't know if she did or not. She's at Chick of All Trade and Women of Type. So please follow her.
Jess.
We love her. She's a vibe.
She's a whole vibe.
Go congratulate her on her marriage. She just got married.
She just got married. And she also just did a really great campaign for mental health. She does design, graphic design. Is that what we would say?
Yeah, she does graphics, yeah. She does typography, and she's
typography.
Insanely, yeah. talented.
She's insanely talented, and she just did a beautiful campaign to highlight and embrace mental health and mental health awareness. So we are also shouting out Jess, and I'm constantly shouting out the people who I love, because I do believe that we have multiple people on our healing journey. And I actually had the person who I work with on my healing journey say that to me. Like, you meet certain people who are meant on the path to take you to the next step. And I definitely think Nicole is one of those people for me. I hosted this clubhouse and I called my friend Yumi and I was like, I think I want to do that. And she's such a supporter of me and just so loving and always pushing me to do it. And she had already been on Clubhouse for like ever. She's my best friend. She invited me to Clubhouse. And then I was like, I'm going to host my first one tonight, because I wasn't taking the physical trauma that I had been healing from and working really hard to release into the new year. I remember being like, I am leaving the pain, the fear, the anxiety, and all this trauma that came with being physically attacked, physically abused, out of my life. Like, I knew I couldn't move it out of my life, but I could move it out of my body.
Do you remember the name of the clubhouse, the name of the room?
It was like releasing physical trauma before the
2021, something like that.
Yeah, because I remember being like, it ends now, like you don't have to take this with you. And I remember knowing that I felt like I had been tethered to that trauma for too long, and I didn't want to have another year of it. And I was like, I know I'm not alone. And it was a beautifully small room, maybe 5 people max. And Nicole and I both talked about how we love the intimate small rooms where you can really have a collective conversation. And she popped in, and I didn't know anybody in the room other than Yumi from Flex and Fly, because of course she was there to support me. But Nicole popped in and like some other women. She was just like talking, and just, I was like, oh my God, this girl's amazing. This is my first one. I had no idea how it was going to go. And I loved everything that she was sharing and saying. And I don't know if it happened instantly after that you emailed me, or was it like a day or that she messaged me? She DM'd me on Instagram, maybe like.
It was immediately after, I think.
Really?
Because I do this thing when I do that. I have to do it quick, or I'll forget, and B, it'll never happen. So I did it, and then I remember thinking after I sent it, I'm very responsive, like super responsive. I've definitely like been more gentle with responses now, but like in the beginning, ooh, the way I would respond. So I sent it was like maybe 2 days after had been 2 days she didn't respond. And so I go, oh, maybe she didn't like me. That's what I thought. It was a very like cute, neat, like kind of message. It was just like, oh my God, I had such a good time in your clubhouse, you know, this, that, and the other. I would love to connect with you. You know, let me know if you're available. We can talk about guided surrender, and I could tell you about female makers. And I remember just like being like, why isn't this girl responding to me? Like,
really?
Understand? I really thought we were a vibe.
You were a vibe. And let me like give some context. 2021 was the first year that I consistently posted on Instagram. Like I would post every 3 months or maybe once a year. I never was active on Instagram and I didn't care. And I really don't enjoy social media and being a presence. So I am not on there as often as it seems like I'm on there. So I really don't know that I even saw the message. And when I did see it, I admit, and I'm learning about how we respond to things, I am an avoidant attachment style. I don't know.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And so, and I think this partially comes from being an introvert, but I will get a message and I'll be like, I just need to wait till I have energy to respond to this. And so my average response time is like 3 to 7 days.
And my response time is like within the day. So I'm just like, why isn't she responding? Anyway, obviously she responded to me. She's like, I'd love to. We set a date. We get on, and I kind of don't even remember the conversation, to be so frank. I just remember there was like a lot of laughing. The energy was really good.
Instant.
It was just like, it was as if we've known each other for a really long time.
Connected almost instantly. And remember, it was on Clubhouse. So we had only heard each other's voices. We had never actually seen each other.
Right. I forgot about that part.
And we did a Zoom call. So we were also looking at each other for the very first time.
So cool.
It was like, she didn't look like what I thought she looked like. I know I didn't look like what she thought he looked like. And we were just like, oh, hey. Because you like, you hear people's voices and you decide, I don't know who they could be. And I was like, this girl is cool. Like, who is she? And so we didn't just do a phone call. We hopped on a Zoom call, a little panorama Zoom meet.
Yes, I remember this. That was beautiful. And then I think after that, it was a done deal. She joined me with Makers, with the small group that I have. So with Female Makers, you know, I really work on empowering women to collectively work together to scale their businesses and also have more accessibility to one another. And I do that in groups of five to six. And she joined this group, and the group that we have with those girls in particular, it's oddly meshed perfect. The energy is like very like get your coin energy. But remember to be
have fun, live your life,
gentle, love yourself,
make that money. Sign Female Makers.
Sign Female Makers. So it's been a beautiful journey to just be a part of really helping each other with ideas. Because one thing that I'm really good at is ideas. I can give you an idea within seconds. But one thing that Franny can do that I have an inability to do is heal parts of me that I wasn't aware needed healing. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of annoying. I know it sounds like a plus to you guys, but it's like, if you want to be irritated, because like, there are just times where I'm like, I just did this thing like 2 months ago. I thought I was good. Why do I keep coming back to the doctor? And the doctor's like, he's telling me stuff. I'm like, girl, I already dropped the 5 pounds. I got off the high blood pressure. What else? What? Now I need an inhaler.
Well, Nicole, what's that about? You know, Sheila, and I don't do it on purpose. And let me say this, as someone who is an intuitive healer, and when I'm working with, what I'm learning to do is to not always use it, because everybody don't always want to do that. Sometimes you really do just want to be like, today sucked, and I felt like everyone was against me. And sometimes you just want someone to listen to you. So I have gotten better about reading her energy and being like, she's available for me to go deeper today. And then there are some days where it's a hell no, don't do it, don't ask for me any questions. And I would say it's more days where she's open to it than not. But I'm learning.
Yeah, I'm definitely open. There's been like maybe a small
hand. Maybe one day that I can actually think of where you just were not.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it.
It returned though. It ended up coming back around, and we did talk about it maybe a week later or two.
We did. And she's really good at reading that. That's the one thing is really good at reading that. I mean, it's really funny. I make lightheartedness of it because it's like, again, it goes back to putting the work in.
Yeah.
You know, are you ready? Are you in a place where you can be, where you can hear those things about yourself because you know that they're true? And then work on it. And if you're not, probably maybe wait. And then when you're ready, you can, you know, you can really work on some great things with Franny, because she, and that's the one thing that she's amazing at, is she'll never push you. She'll never say, hey, if you go to her and you go, I don't think I'm ready. I don't know. I just don't know if it's the time. She'll always say, you know what? You come back to me when you are ready. It's never purely pushed, because it's about her making her coin. That's never what it is. because her coin's going to be made whether you sign up with her or not, period. It's more so about, it's not going to sue me anything. If I force it on you, you're unhappy. And then I have to go back and I got to do extra work. It's just like, no, I want to do the work with you intentionally from the beginning, not because you feel forced and I'm forcing you into some kind of thing. Same thing with makers. Like, you know, if you're not in a position where you can join because maybe financially it's not working out, maybe, you know, you're just not comfortable yet, that's fine. You are more than welcome to like enjoy the free like things that were that are happening that you can watch as an observer until you're to that place. But that's why I say it should never be a competition among women. There is a place for everybody and there's a spot for everybody. So if you're not the flower shop I buy flowers from, there's another flower shop I buy flowers from.
Yeah. And I think the beautiful thing, and we talk about this a lot in Female Makers, which again is a collective group of small business women in small business, and we support each other as we build our business and reach our milestones. We have Jess, who's Chick of All Trade, and Symphony with Rooney Boutique. Rooney.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's me with Guided Surrender and Nicole. And so the four of us bounce ideas off of each other. And the one thing that we do not do is limit each other. So it's like, if someone, even if we did have the same businesses, which in our group, we just don't. We all have our own very specific Symphony is in merchandising and clothing. She's her own, she makes clothes and has her own clothing line, Rooney. And then Jess does typography. And then Nicole does the group Female Makers and works with consulting and empowering women in business. And then I work through healing. Four different things. However, if they were similar, we have a vibe where it's like, someone eating from your pocket, someone eating at your table doesn't mean that they won't also enjoy my restaurant. Or if my restaurant doesn't if my restaurant doesn't
Let's serve what they're
looking for, send them to your restaurant. Like, it's not about, if my restaurant is full, that doesn't reflect why your restaurant is empty.
And or just because restaurant. Someone is taking a space, that doesn't mean that there isn't one for you.
Right. One
thing I talk about a lot, and it was a compliment I got recently, I was going to tell you about it. When I was out on working the show, a woman that I was working with approached me and she made, it was probably the most flattering comment, compliment I've ever received, which was, a lot of people I've met over the last year virtually, I've never met them in person, Franny being one of them. This company that I'm with, I've worked with a lot and I've met almost every person in the company, except I've never met them in person. So doing the show, I went and met them in person and the energy matched. It was great. It was really cathartic for me. And I'll have to tell Franny that story later. But I walked in the room. I said hi to the people that I did, gave them a hug, sat my place, picked my spot physically at the table, sat down, put all my stuff, started working, started delegating, started taking direction, also started giving direction, just really being empowered in what I knew I was there for. And the woman approached me and days later, and we had worked very closely together. And she goes, you know, when I have to tell you something, when I first met you, she's like, I wasn't sure I was going to like you. And she goes, you came in and I was like extremely intimidated. Like, she's like, I was very like, who is this? And as women, we do that a lot. When we see a woman kind of taking charge, a lot of times it's very like defensive. Like, who the heck does she think she is? We're taught generationally to look at each other initially like that. So it's really hard to break that, first of all, if that's how you normally react. Then she goes, after I kind of watched you a little bit and I saw you, she said, it was really powerful for me to see a woman take space in a room. She took space where you belonged, and you made sure that people were aware of the space that you were taking, and you stood firm in that space. And that compliment probably was the best compliment I've ever received, because I'm very verbal on telling other women to make sure that they're taking their space. You take space. You make sure that you are known to, when you walk into a room, that people know what you're there for.
Yeah.
You're not a sit in the corner and wait for someone to call on you. You call on yourself when you need to speak, and not be apologetic about that. And make sure that you feel confident in what you're doing. And it takes a lot to get to that place. So when another woman notices that, you know that that is true, because normally we'll just sit there and just be like, wait for me, wait to call on me, and then I'll respond. And I didn't do that for this whole show. I was very verbal and upfront and very confident in what I was there for. And I made sure that people knew that. And to know that another woman saw that and she felt empowered by that, that could almost make me cry, because it just made me feel so good about her, allowing her to feel good, giving her permission to feel good about what she was there for, and yeah, taking the steps that she needed to take.
That's beautiful. I love that you said that. I think a lot of us shrink. I think if I could go back in time, the moments that I would whisper in my ear are the moments where I noticed that I was shrinking to appease or to blend, when I should have just been myself. And hindsight's 2020. It, my best compliment actually came from a woman who didn't care for me.
I love it already. Love it already.
Yeah, she didn't care for me. And she was expressing to me that she didn't care for me and reasons why she didn't care for me. And one of the things that she said to me was, she paused and she looked at me and she said, "You have no idea how powerful you are."
Wow.
And it changed me, because...
Oh, I would have cried. I could instantaneously cry right now.
It really changed me, because...
How did you feel when she first said that?
I think that things only affect you when you agree with them. And if you're triggered by something, or if it has this intentional, like, ooh, it's like, it's because you agreed with them. Like, for instance, if someone called me stupid, I would be like, okay, I don't agree with you, so I don't care. You could think I'm stupid, live your life. That though, it was two different things that happened. On one end, it was like a knife. And on the other end, it was like a piece. And I think two different things happened. I agreed with her. I didn't know how powerful I was. And then the other part of it was, this woman doesn't care for me at all and has no intention right now, other than in the conversation, she was insulting me and saying things that she didn't care about me. But in that moment, it wasn't an insult for injury. I think it was an insult for, like, I can't respect someone who doesn't even know how powerful she is.
Absolutely.
And it was like, I have to say, that was when I bossed up. I started realizing, like, okay, like, it's time for you to boss up and to really be in your own energy and be yourself, because I didn't know how powerful I was. And to be completely honest, I think I was afraid of how powerful that I had the potential to be. And I thank her for not caring for me, because if she did care for me, she probably never would have said that to me. So thank you, person out there. Hope you're doing well.
You know what? That's such a beautiful thing, though. You know, there are certain women that leave marks on us, on how they've treated us illy, like, or also just how they've carried themselves and then let that out on us as women. And that's really, like, I know for me, I have at least two that I can think of off the top of my head that I still speak about to this day. And it's not because it goes, oh, I don't feel like they deserve for me to speak about them, right? Because they treated me so badly. It's about the lessons that I learned from how they treated me, and not accepting to be treated that way, but to also see, like, how they treat themselves is really a reflection on how they treat me. You know, they haven't been empowered enough to really teach me, instead of kind of speaking at me like I'm less than. That's the difference is, when you're speaking to another woman, it's not about you being better than her. It's about, how can you speak to her so that she can take the codes of what you have and go and do better? Why do you want her to not succeed? What are you dealing with that you feel so intimidated by her success that hasn't even happened yet? Versus with men, it's so much easier. I noticed with men, they have an ability to look at each other and be like, I see he's driving a Beamer. I want to drive that Beamer. And they go, I'm going to drive that Beamer. It's not, he's driving a Beamer. Like, what did he do to deserve that? It's, I see that. I want that. I'm going to get that. And that's really the mentality that I want for us as women, and sharing that code. Like, listen, I got my Beamer. This is how I got it. There, it doesn't cost me anything to tell you an idea for your business, because I don't have to do the work. You still have to do it. 90% of those people will not do it. I can give you ideas all day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't cost me anything to give you an idea, because you still have to actually do the idea. It actually creates more opportunities for us to work together, because I've just given you 5 free ideas. And now you want, right. And now you want to work with me. And now we can profit off of the things that we're partnering up on and working together. Like, everything always comes back. It's always full circle.
It is so true. And I think it goes back to the saying, can you fix another woman's crown without telling her it was wrong? Like, just fix her crown. Like, be there for her. And I love that you said that. This actually creates more opportunity for us both to level up. And here's the thing, and I'm going to be straight up. I do not want to get to the top just to eat alone. I
want
to.
I want a whole table. I want a whole table.
It's all y'all.
Catered. All of it is catered. Bring me whatever I ask
and
for.
What if it's a potluck and you just by yourself, you know? You're going to be eating your little spaghetti. Like, I want all of y'all there. I don't need to be the only one who's making money. I don't need to be the only one who's happy and feeling peace in her life and who's found joy, true, abundant, rampant joy. I don't want that. I don't want to be the only one who's healing. I don't want that. And that is what activates that the rest, the purpose, the life goals, to be like, all right, this is why I do the work that I do. And this is why I share the messages that I share. And this is why the people who are around me are around me. And even the people who are not around me, but left me with gems, I thank them. Even the things that hurt, I thank it. I had a huge release this week with a situation where I realized that I had created a fantasy that allowed for that situation to continue to exist, when actuality, the situation wasn't what in reality, what I created fanatically. However, even though the fantasy allowed me to stay in it, the truth of it allowed me to learn from it. And I was able to learn. And even though that person is not going to continue their cycle in my life, I'm grateful for that person's contributions to my healing. And that's the beauty of being able to truly put your healing back on you. This is all coming back around full circle, because you can exist and take up space in a room and fix another woman's crown and be yourself unequivocally without any type of hindrances or blocking and imbalances of yourself, and still be giving to others. Because I'm not losing anything by being loving. I'm not losing anything by choosing peace over hate.
It doesn't cost you anything to be the bigger person. It
doesn't
ever
cost anything to be kind. It doesn't. And to be completely honest, it's not our job to punish people. And we have gotten in our heads somewhere that, like, oh, I'm going to make this person feel this. Da, 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 da. And all you're doing is creating your own karma. Because you don't.
You're creating more chaos.
Chaos and karmic debt. Because that person is answering to their karmic debt. And now you've just signed up to be, you know, like when they're like, do you know any friends who would like to participate in this too? And you're like, oh yeah.
Oh, like, I do. I would like to participate. And I also would like to list all the people I want participated in. So if you could make that a case file.
Make that happen.
Let me know when it's done pending and it's approved. Because I
want to talk
to these people. You are not their mom.
You are not.
And even moms be like, they got to learn. They got to learn. Go learn on your own. It's not my job to have everything learned for you. So make sure you go handle your business. And you know what it is? It's so funny, because Franny and I talk about it so, so much. And it's back to what she always says. It's resistance. It's your ego. It's your fear that's getting in the way. Because no one's going to hurt my feelings. That's the energy. And again, yes, nobody will hurt your feelings, but it's not, no one's going to hurt my feelings at the cost of hurting somebody else's feelings.
Let's be big enough to realize that as we act out to feel better, we're only making a pathway that leads us right back to being the same as the person who hurt us. you can't heal in a space where you are hurting and also being a hurter. And it's about choosing, like, even though this was painful for me, I am forgiving so that I can set free myself and also open to receive the experience again so it can be written differently this time. It's about having an open heart. I love this someone who I love, T.D. Jakes, and he said, where love lives, the door must always be open. So even when your heart has been through a situation, you may feel tattered, you may feel weak, you may feel like you are wide open and it's uncomfortable, I dare you to have the audacity to keep loving. First yourself, and the love that you have from yourself will overflow if you continue to practice it and foster it. And that overflow is what you will give away. So loving someone else is never at the sacrifice of loving yourself. And therefore, if that person is to retreat or to not love you the way that you want to be loved, or to not provide what you want provided in love, your cup is overflowing and you can just take your overflow elsewhere. It has absolutely nothing to do with that person detracting anything from you. There's no outside force that can truly take anything that you already possess. So knowing that everything is truly yours that you desire and that you are overflowing with a lavish abundance of the universe, and it cannot be tampered with and it cannot be stolen from you, but it can be possessed by you in such a beautiful and authentic way where you're like, this is my supply and I will be selfish about giving up too much of it because we always want to be in overflow.
You know what? That was, Franny always says the most beautiful things, and it triggered this quote that I literally used to live by for years. I haven't said it out loud in a long time, but it's by Albert Camus, and it says, blessed are the hearts that can bend. They shall never be broken. But I wonder if there's no breaking, then there's no healing. And if there's no healing, then there's no learning. And if there's no learning, then there's no struggle. But the struggle is a part of life. And that quote lived a long time in my heart, because there's times, even as women, you know, we experience a lot of heartbreak. And not just because it's an intimate or personal relationship. It could be for so many reasons, and we're grieving. And we will grieve alone for so long without asking for help, without leaning on our people. And if you don't create that accessibility, that community for yourself with other women, you know, it can feel lonely, and it's really hard to heal just without anybody. Nobody ever did anything great without a team, without their table, ever. Nobody. It doesn't even matter if they say, I did it on my own. Yes, you did the hard work on your own, but you never, the stuff in between to get you to that next level was never by yourself. It wasn't without a phone call, an in-person sit down, a person. It wasn't without somebody telling you, like, you got this, you're going to do this, it's going to be great, you got it, you keep going because what you're doing is great. That never happened by themselves, ever.
It's okay to desire support and to accept it. And I think that's the icing on the cake, is I think we are taught that it's a form of weakness to need help. It's actually a form of strength to be able to say I need help and then to actually let yourself receive it. So I am grateful for the help and the support that I have. I'm grateful for the help and support that surrounds me. I'm grateful for Nicole. I'm grateful for Female Makers. I'm grateful for all the lavish abundance that has found me this year. And I'm grateful to be able to even do a season 2 of Surrender Soul Chats and Guided Meditations, because I was hesitant to do it because I felt like it was evolving and it needed to evolve beyond just me. And then I had this beautiful idea with Nicole, hey, why don't we take the conversations that we're having privately and make them more collective? And it's like a new beginning. And if you know anything about numerology, the number 11 or 11 or 1111 symbolizes new beginnings. And at the same time, we were like, we should call it 1111. And so that is why this chapter of life is so beautiful right now, because I am in sync with such beautiful minds and souls and people and energy And I am living what I prayed for years ago. I am. It looks different than how I thought it was going to look.
So different.
But the prayer was answered. Yeah, I manifested this shit. And I did a good job. I did a good job.
You did a good job, girl. You did a good job. You did a good job. We did a good job. We're doing a good job. We're doing a good job. We're doing a good job.
We're doing a good job. And with that, I think we are complete.
So we are so excited to just like bring more conversations like this to the table as you guys follow our journey. And we hope that it awakens things in you that allow you to heal some traumas and things that we have been working through on our own and through your lives, but also make new connections with other women so that you can feel like your community is built.
Absolutely. If you are tuning in via the podcast and only listening to the audio and you would like to also see the video, you can find it posted on YouTube and collectively see us in expression, join the conversation, comment, let us know that you are here. Please also visit our Instagrams. I am Guided Surrender and Nicole is
Female Makers, and you can give us a follow and follow our journey. Please stay bold and stay beautiful.
And powerful, and ignite your healing by having the audacity to feel and to rise up to your highest self. I think we're always feeling like the highest self is an unachievable state, but it's actually always sitting right beside you. It's whether or not you're choosing to live in her or not in that moment. So choose to live in her, activate, and you are the phoenix and she is within you. And that's why we're here. And the work isn't just for us. The love, the prosperity, the new lessons and beginnings are not just for us. It's the energy is collective. So collect.
Collect it and grab your coin too. Make sure you grab it. It's knocking. It's knocking for all of us. So grab your coins because the way these bags are going to be looking next year.
Hey.
Be ready for it. Be ready for it. Because we're
accepting. Number seven. And then there's that other song. Ching, ching, ching goes the money tree.
Yes. The TikTok song.
Yeah. I love that song. All right. So with this, we love you all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of 1111. And we'll see you all. The episodes will drop each week on Wednesday. Are we doing that? Are we doing each week? Did we say bi-weekly? We're going to do each week.
We're going to go with the flow.
We're going to go with the flow. And when an episode is out, an episode is out. If you want to see more, let us know. But we'll give you what we got. And, do with it as you may. With love. Bye.
Bye.
Ciao.